don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll get all the buttons pushed here and make sure we're connected. Looks like we had to reconnect here this morning, but good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
We got Todd over there that's working to make sure that we got it back on there. That's good to know. And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And the phone's ringing already. Caller, we're going to get you to just hold on there for a second. And we do say good morning. It is March 2nd, 2013, and we've got our coffee, and we've got our Bibles, and, of course, we're going to start out with a word of prayer. Jason, we'll ask you to open in prayer, brother.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we come to you, and we ask for your blessing upon today's broadcast. We ask that you guide us and direct us, that you give us your words to speak, and we pray that you grant us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we can better serve your people. We ask that you continue to guide us and direct us in everything that's going on around us, just for the remnant across this land, Father. We do lift them up and just pray, Father, for the blessings to flow into their life and for them to recognize that you are their king and that you are their deliverer. We pray that people wake up to that and that they find comfort in that, that they can stand firm upon the rock, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the powers of the dog, and all that come against us. We pray that you guide us and direct us in all that we do. We pray the full armor of God on, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation. We pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we pray and petition for the saints. And we just thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And the phone lines are ringing already. Let's see what we got over here. Good morning. Good morning. You've called in to Coffee with the Wranglers. And the button's pushed. Good morning. Are you there? Well, you just have to call back, I guess. It is a little early for a phone call. We will open up the phone lines, though, 307-745-5913. If you do want to call in, this is a live radio broadcast on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, coming out to you on satellite, audio satellite, KU band, if you have that. Also streaming to you at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and, of course, on WTWW Shortwave. And what frequency are we on this morning? Are we on...
I forget.
I've got it written down the other end. I don't have it here in front of me. Yes, I do. I've got the newsletter here. I know it changes right about now, doesn't it? Let's see where we're at. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. is 5830. So it's 6 a.m. this morning, and we rolled back over to 9480. So we'll be on frequency, shortwave frequency, 9.480. Till 7 o'clock Mountain Time tonight, and then we switch over to the nighttime, and that's 5.830, and that's from 7 p.m. Mountain to tonight till 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. So, and if you want our shortwave schedule, we have it at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. We also put it in the Dragon Slayer newsletter each month, because that the times change. Oh, probably, what here, Jason, another couple months maybe?
Yeah, they change periodically every, you got to adjust for daylight. You want those high frequencies, they don't do real good in the daylight, so you got to compensate for when it becomes daylight at transmitter site versus where you get people listening in at daylight, whether you're on a high frequency or a low frequency. And, we got to adjust accordingly.
So there you go. And, we do still stream out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, of course, the majority of that is Pastor Peter's messages that are still going out and are still bearing good fruit. Had a man from Florida call me yesterday and said he was fixing to go out on his four-mile walk. The man's kind of semi-retired. And he says when he does, he takes his iPhone and he clicks over to the website and puts his earphones in and click. And he said, and Pastor Peters goes walking with him. So I thought that was pretty neat. And that's one of the things, just to let you, the remnant, know, to remind you that you can, if you have the iPhone, the iPad, you can get the broadcast right there. I say sometimes, isn't technology grand? And then sometimes I want to take this and throw it across the room, this little cell phone here. But it is. It's kind of the way things are right now. And so we're doing all we can to make sure we get those Pastor Peter's messages and these live broadcasts out to you, the remnant, in just about each and every way that we can. So we sure do that. Well, something in Jeremiah caught my eye, and as I was reading it this morning, right before we went on, I've got it marked in my Bible, and I think it certainly applies to many today, and that's in Jeremiah 30. And I'll start reading in verse 12, just a couple verses here. And in Jeremiah 30, it says, "For thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable, and your injury is serious. There is no one to plead your case, no healing for your sore, no recovery for you. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I," and this is God speaking through Jeremiah the prophet, "for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the punishment of a cruel one, because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. Why do you cry out over your injury? Your pain is incurable, because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. I have done these things to you." And that's Jeremiah 30, 12, verse 12 through verse 15. And I just couldn't help but think, when I glanced at that this morning, how that applies to our people and our land today. We do have an incurable wound today, according to God. And a very serious injury is in the land. And it does seem like that there's no one out there, at least in the physical, to plead our cause, no one to go to healing for. Any thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts are it's because we are hurting ourselves. You know, I mean, it's not that God isn't there. God isn't went nowhere. God hasn't forsaken his people. His people have forsaken him. You know, even though God caused the wound, we actually caused it ourselves, of course. But I like how it said no one there is basically there for you. You know, and they're not, you know, because we all go to the wrong source. You know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not individualizing everybody that listens to this ministry. I'm saying all in general, as a people, as a nation, our source of recovery, our source of healing, our source of whatever, we go to the wrong guy. You know, a lot of times we go to the very one that's, you know, putting that chain around our neck to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, that pharmakia comes to mind when you say that.
Yeah.
You know, there may be time to go get a bone set and things like that. But for the most part, you know, and we've talked about it before, how especially our older generation, and of course the younger generation is just being brought up in it, but how they do that very thing. You know, they got to, I don't feel good. Let me take a pill to feel good. And then I feel too good. Let me take a pill to not feel so good. And yeah.
Well, I remember the pastor used to occasionally he'd go through the list of side effects on some of those advertisements, you know. And it's like, okay, I mean, talk about them. That's like a good taking your car to a mechanic and, you know, he fixes the problem, but he sets it up to where there's going to be a whole bunch of other problems down the line for him, you know. So,
yeah,
it's too bad.
Yeah.
And the churches are doing the same thing. You know, they're not giving people the answer. They're not giving people what they need to hear. They're just making them feel good, you know, which doesn't help their problems at all. It hinders them. And it's just, I guess it's all the branches it's all the branches of the beast system of Babylon, you know, from religion to medical to food to government, you know, that's just how that system works.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a little bit earlier in this verse and chapter in Jeremiah, you know, God is showing in what we read just how bad off we really are. An incurable wound, a serious injury, and no one to plead our cause. And, you know, we certainly have an advantage today, the remnant that have had their eyes opened, that have been washed in his blood, that know that nothing is incurable with Christ. And that even though we have a serious injury, that he took a serious beating for us. We have an advantage today over these people in Jeremiah's time, because they were hearing this and you know, they didn't have the cross to look to at that time. But right before it, in verse 10 of Jeremiah 30, he tells his people, again through Jeremiah the prophet, he says, "Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord, and do not be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your offspring from the land of their captivity. And Jacob will return and will be quiet and at ease, and no one will make him afraid, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you. For I will destroy completely all the nations where I have scattered you. Only I will not destroy you completely, but I will chasten you justly, and will by no means leave you unpunished." And, you know, it doesn't matter what I feel about that or what I think about that, but that's the Word of God. And, you know, Remnant, if you have friends out there, maybe that's some verses that will help you show that, you know, even God from days of old had today planned out. And even though this applied to them in Jeremiah's day, I sure think it applies to us today. Because we do have, his people today have a very grievous wound and a very serious injury. And like you said, Kyle, we've brought it upon ourselves as a people, because we've, as the Song of Moses says, we have grown fat and kicked. We have grown sleek and fat. And I'm not talking about weight. But we have, as a people. And we've just, you know, live and let live, and God loves everybody, and everybody gets to go to heaven. And those lies are just prevailing in people's minds, it seems like, today.
Yeah, and part, you know, I think it's Luke 7 or 171. Anyway, somewhere in there, 168 through 71, or where it talks about Christ coming to save us from our enemies, and not, you know, not just our sins, you know, not just cleanse us, but to save us from our enemies. And I think that's exactly what it's talking about, is, you know, we can't do it ourselves. You know, we try, you know, I've tried in the past, but the enemies are numerous, you know. And like I said, it's not just people, it's the system, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all this stuff that's came upon the land, the spirit of Jezebel or adultery or fornication or whatever it is. I mean, there's countless things that are going on, you know. Well, Christ came and set us free from that. I mean, that bondage, you know. I have an incurable disease without Christ.
Amen.
You know, but with him, you know. I'm in Romans 12 here, and it says, and this is hard to do. It says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men." That's hard to do.
It is. That's hard for me to do.
It's hard for me to do. Jason's got it down, but...
No, but we got to recognize that there's a time when it's not possible, too.
Well, it does say that, doesn't it? If it be possible.
Right.
And I think that, you know, just with a lot of the things that are going on, it's looking like it's getting, it's with the way that our government's making advances and with the way with the laws that are changing and the laws, you know, the food laws, the FDA laws, it's becoming to the point where it's very possible we could be approaching the times where it is impossible to be at peace with all men. I mean, you look at how many children there, when they're snatching your children up and taking them away from you because you're feeding them raw milk. You know, that in my book becomes a time when it's impossible to be at peace with all men.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, Jason, you read a very, I don't even know how to describe it, truthful, but almost disheartening article last night, how the, is it the American Dairy Association that
yep.
is petitioning the government? I'd seen the article earlier this week. Petitioning the government to allow them to put poison in the milk and not list it as an ingredient. That's basically what it is. Aspartame, sweeteners, you know, things that make you want to drink more. You know, things to trick your body into getting fatter and unhealthier. So you want to consume more of this homogenized, pasteurized milk so that those that do make money on it, and I can tell you this, there's very few dairies that make money on it, even with the government subsidies. They're up to their neck in debt and bills and the ones that are in that system. And I think what you said was right, Jason. You know, the next step from that is once they do that, oh, well, you have to drink our milk. You can't get it right out of the cow. That's unhealthy for you. You have to drink the milk we've put poison in for you. Yeah, I think if it comes down to that so far as it depends on
you.
You
want to talk about being robbed and plundered. You look at, you know, we were given a land of milk and honey, and now, you know, they're trying to take milk, away the milk. They've already done a pretty good job of taking away the honey. You know, and done a pretty good job of taking away the milk, but trying to take away something that was purely, that was God-given
uh-huh.
to his people, you know, for nourishment, for health reasons.
Right.
For, you know, their benefit. And to reclassify it, call it something else, is just, it's blasphemy.
It is. It is. And if you read your food labels, they, you know, you can go to the grocery store and the bottle says honey, and you think, oh, well, that's honey. Mm-hmm. Well, you better turn around and look at the back. You know, it's the same thing now with, you know, we've always tried to have maple syrup if we're going to have syrup. You know, we tried not to eat Aunt Jemima. Grew up with that, but we try to eat a little healthier and try to have like a grade B maple syrup. Can't have it all the time because it's pretty pricey. But we that's what we try to have when we have syrup. And that's a nice thing about Cracker Barrel because they have maple syrup. So one of the things anyway. But you look in the grocery store now and it says maple table syrup. And the table's real small. And there's not any maple syrup in it, but it says maple syrup.
Yeah.
And just one of the things that, like you said earlier, our enemies that we have.
Maybe that's why in Mark 16... where it talks about the Great Commission, I mean, God, of course, knowing all, you know, put in there that we'll be able to drink poisons. You know, that's one of the signs that follow them that believe. Now that doesn't say if you know better to do it. You know,
right.
Don't tempt the Lord. But you know, because many of our people they have no clue when they walk over to the tap. They should have a clue by now. But when they walk over to their faucet that they wash their dishes in and they pour themselves a cup of water, they have no idea that the fluoride in there is rat poison. I mean, they just,
right.
They won't believe, for whatever reason, they should know it by now, but they don't, you know. And now milk and, you know, I mean, who knows what else, who knows what jar of orange juice they're getting off the shelf that has nothing, doesn't even have oranges in it. Who
right.
knows, you know, but, you know, that's another thing that, the benefits of the cross. You know, that we receive, you know, just, but like I said, that's not an excuse to just down
it all. I think it must comply to that or apply to that to some degree because I don't know a whole lot of people that go out and drink poison.
Right.
On purpose.
But when I remember being young and reading that scripture, I pictured somebody
I know, I did too.
Who actually,
yep.
you know, accidentally reached under the sink and grabbed a thing of cleaner or something and swigged it. You know, I mean, that's what I was picturing. I didn't realize that the poisoners were going to poison everything, you know, at that time. You know, but, yeah.
Johnny, you think of down in one of those rattlesnake handling churches drinking formaldehyde or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, our naivety.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, we do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. You're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And on this first Saturday of March 2013, now, mark your calendars. Let me bring a calendar up real quick because March is a busy month. And if you look at your calendar, let's see, bring a calendar up here. Today's the first Saturday of March, March 2nd. We sent this out in the Volume 9, 2012, Dragon Slayer. But coming up the third week of March, March 18th and 19th, are the last two 91st days for the 2012 solar year. And those days bump right up to March 20th, which is the spring equinox, and that's the beginning of the solar year of 2013. Of course, we're in the third month of the calendar year of 2013, but the solar year begins on the spring equinox, and that's on March 20th. And that is day one of the new year. The 2 days before that are the last 2 days. They're 91st days. That wrap up the 2012 solar year. If you want some more information on the 91st days, you can read that at our website. We can also mail it to you. We have a little 91st days treatise that we'd be glad to do that, to mail that to you, and it does a good job of explaining that out. Basically, they're a Sabbath day between the seasons. You know, we were created as an agricultural society, And God likes to give you days off. He's the best boss there is because he just likes to give you days off and days to take a break and worship him. So that's coming up. Well, the phone lines are ringing. Let's go over to that. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Yes.
Yes. That's Kevin in Ohio. How are you folks? Is it cold out there?
Well, it's March 2nd, so it's been colder. It's not too bad, but... No snow this morning, so.
Well, it's been snowing for 2 days here. It just hadn't let up in the last month in Ohio. Been a late winter. About the raw milk, I always take a shotgun rider with me when I pick up my monthly supply. That raw Jersey milk's pretty dangerous, you know.
it's like picking up a bunch of gold or something, or they're going to come rob you.
Well, if you look at some of the news reports, they have, you know, they have shut down raw milk dairies. You know, they did, they shut the family down in Missouri. You know, we before we moved here, we were going to be that family's neighbor. You know, they shut their dairy down and cheese plant and that type of thing. And so there's times that the enemy does that when they can.
Yeah, they got a neighbor farmer of the farm I've been buying my raw Jersey milk from for about 12 years. The guy I buy it from keeps an organic farm, and his neighbor was doing the same thing. These are Amish guys. I live in the heart of the old core Amish, the old order, and they trapped the man. They had a state agent go out there and beg and plead to buy milk off a young Amish boy. And finally his dad came over, and that agent said, want to buy some milk for such and such. And that Amish man refused to sell it to him. And then he says, well, I'll give you a gallon to help you out. And the guy said, well, here's a buck. And the Amish guy took it, and they took him right to jail. I mean, took him right to court.
Yeah.
They shut down his farm. They took away his license. Yeah, a license. Richard, I could break your bubble about the Cracker Barrel. I've always liked what I thought was their maple syrup. Have you read the label?
Oh, no.
Oh,
say
yeah.
Say it isn't so.
Say it is so. It's corn syrup.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I used to carry those little bottles home and sweeten stuff at home, like if I made some kind of treat, and I read that label about a year back, and I just can't do it no more.
Oh, no.
We grow and learn,
so no more Cracker Barrel syrup.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Cracker Barrel's a good one, though. They got a side dish now. They have baked sweet potatoes, and you get something like a steak and a couple sides, get two of those little baked sweet potatoes dry. Makes a good meal. You know, you're not eating junk, really. You know what you're getting, a raw sweet potato and a piece of steak.
Amen. Sounds good.
I have to ask you a question I'm pondering for the last couple of days. I've really been anti-abortion. Hardcore anti-abortion. But I have a question that plagues me about it, though. What does a real man, if some female in his family, be it whichever, wife, daughter, grandchild, female, gets raped by one of these monkeys? What would a guy do? Nurse and nurture a child like that? Or what would you face? If you were overwhelmed, let's say overrun, and somebody raped a daughter or something like that, what would a guy do? And it's a tough one for me to answer.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Is there a place for a death like that?
I don't know. Jason, Kyle?
Well, there's a choice of not abortion, but setting it up for adoption before it's born. That's an option. You know, making arrangements and everything like that. Now, I'm not saying that's what you should do. I'm just saying that's an option, you know, to where you don't have to raise it. Just make arrangements with whoever that is you make arrangements with for putting it up, you know, putting it up for adoption as soon as it's born.
Kind of a sanitized answer, isn't it? I mean,
Kevin, I mean, do you, you know, it's a hypothetical question, right? I mean, it hasn't happened.
Correct.
In your life. And so I think that one thing is, you know, God provides, you know, the children of Israel did not know. Moses didn't know when he went down to the Red Sea. He didn't know what was going to happen. He did not know. But once he got in that situation, he trusted God, and God got him through it. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Oh, King, we are not going to bow down to you. We know God can deliver us, and God, what God does basically is right." You know, they said, if we die, we die. If he delivers us, he delivers us. Either way, we're not bound down to you." And they walked into it. Now, maybe they knew exactly what was going to happen. You know, I don't know. But when they were faced with that, he provided. And I think for a true Christian, that if you're given that a situation, any situation, that if you pray, if you don't rely on your own thoughts, your own heart, your own desires, and you do just, you know, what Kyle read in there in Romans. You know, some things are a hard thing to do. You know, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You know, that's a hard thing to do. But if we'll do all we can to follow not only that, but all the precepts in the Bible, then if we're faced with that type of situation, I think God will get us through it. He'll provide a way. He'll speak to us
I guess if that situation pops up, you could even pray for a miscarriage. You could just pray that God wouldn't put anything on you that you're not supposed to bear.
Right.
You know, but maybe...
You could pray beforehand that, you know, that she didn't conceive.
Right. I mean, there's lots of angles, you know. But unfortunately, and like I said, we're talking about hypotheticals, so I feel like I can say this without hurting anybody's feelings. But unfortunately, as a society, we are reaping what we sow. You know, I mean, we should be praying protection on ourselves every day, which,
right.
And all that stuff. But, you know, sometimes because that law of God, you will reap what you sow, sometimes bad things happen to what we think are good people. You know, that what we think as the flesh, man, you know, why would that happen to them? They're so good or whatever. But we reap what we sow, and sometimes that law overcomes other laws, you know.
Right.
You know, and so I don't
Does that kind of answer
hypothetical
Kevin?
Hypothetical questions are tough. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to get it straight. I mean, I liked your response, both of you, especially Richard, and both of you, you're right in essence the same. And that's how I would have to go.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, you know, thou shalt not murder is still there.
Yeah.
You know, and Christ said, you know, don't harm any of these children. And if you do, if you cause a stumbling block to them, and I would think abortion would be a stumbling block to a child, you know, that you know, the Bible says what should happen to that person, and that it would be better if they drowned in the sea. You know, and again, like Kyle said, hypothetical questions are really tough, and a lot of times you get those from non-Christians. Yeah. Oh, so what you're saying is blah blah blah, and you know, the
real questions are tougher.
Yeah,
because if this is a real life situation,
right? Then that's tougher.
It's tougher.
It is. It is, and it's one thing to, you know, to talk about it. We're sitting here with our Bibles open and our coffee, and you know, pretty comfortable in here on Saturday morning. It's one thing to talk about it like that. It's another thing to have to live it and face it. It certainly is.
Yeah, that's so. I know. My wife was raised in Soviet system for, you know, lived in almost 50 years. And,
right.
And that's the only way they had birth control. That's all they allowed. They had no birth control pills.
Yeah.
The Soviets did not give them. They had women that were in the villages, and those women, I mean, quote, villages could be up to 50,000 people. They would call it a village still, not a city. And the women, just local women, were doing the abortions, and they were not highly skilled.
No.
And that's how they did it. And those women were forced into it. And you take you could take how many Christian women are sitting in churches right now taking birth control pills, right?
Yeah.
And saying, well, I would never do an abortion.
Right.
And what's happening all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really,
and with some, I mean, I know that the studies they would never put it out. It's costing them their lives at an earlier age. You know,
it certainly is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
cancers and so forth.
Yeah, you know, we started out, Kevin, in Jeremiah 30. For thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable, and your injury is serious. And you know, it is that way. It is that way. Now,
and he knows the hidden parts of our heart.
He does. Now, you know, he says that, but he says that just to tell us how bad it is, you know. And then he reaches out his hand and says, but I can cure it, and I'll heal your serious injury. And he can, and he does. You know, oh, that the, you know, so many think that, oh, we pray for the remnant's eyes to be open just so that, you know, they'll see the enemies that want to take their guns, or so they see, you know, like Jason has said, the poison that's in our food and things like that. But, you know, as a people, we are seriously wounded in heart, in mind, in soul, in body. And we are, his remnant is in need of healing.
Amen. This is beneficial. This is beneficial. It covers not just this abortion subject, and like you're making quite the right, correct reference. I thank you, and I pray for you, gentlemen, every day.
Thank
you,
Kevin.
The whole ministry.
Thank you, Kevin.
God bless you guys.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Let it warm up, though.
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Amen. It's a good point. Good point. Yeah, it's not all John 3:16, that's for sure.
And every, I don't know what you would call it, answer, or, you know, is done with bowing your head and getting on your knees and praying that God will get you through it, you know. Yeah. There isn't an answer out there without that.
Mm-mm. No, not at all. Not at all. Well, Jason, you sure covered some of the interesting news topics of the day in your program last night. Anything coming to mind that you want to put out for the people this morning?
Well, in California, they had reports of fireballs falling from the sky. Michigan had ice balls washing up on the shores of the lakes. And just from one extreme to another, things that we've never seen before. I mean, if that don't tell you that there's Day of the Lord events going on, I don't know what does.
Signs of the times. Is that this week or was that 2 weeks ago? I mean, has it just been continuing ever since?
It was last week. They had some more reports of some fireballs falling. But then this week was interesting. And I don't know. I think it's significant. I don't know to what extent. But massive ice balls were, they attracted people all over Michigan to Lake Michigan. And they got these just, the shores just washed up with these round ice balls all up and down the shores there.
How big?
And they were about the size of basketballs. Some of them were quite a bit bigger, and some of them were smaller. They varied in size, but it's just, I saw some pictures of it. And as far as you can see down the shoreline, it's just, you know, packed with them. And I guess it's been a huge draw out there where people are going from all over to see them.
Wow!
Well, yeah,
a lot of people are traveling from out of state to see them. But
is there theories out there about them?
Nope, not that I found.
They're just ice balls.
Come
huh?
see the ice balls in Lake Michigan. Wow!
I mean, there's some people that are talking about it, and they're talking about, oh, wow, it's not that strange, but nobody's ever seen it before to this extent. So I'd say that's pretty strange.
Yeah, I'd say so too.
Yeah. Well, and that's like those the. You know, meteors and stuff that we had in February, you know, the one hitting in Russia, you know, they said one hadn't hit that big since what, for 100 years, you know, nobody alive has seen anything like that. And then the close flyby and the fireballs that were visible there. I mean, we had people calling and saying, I just saw this across the sky. And, you know, that Monday before, I think it would happen on a Thursday or something. I know that Monday before, I was out and saw, out here you see shooting stars, you see meteorites and things like that, but had saw one that Monday evening that was, you could see a green color to it. I mean, it was so, you know, just right there over Sheep Mountain. And talked to a guy out in Centennial, and I think he had seen the same one. And things are changing.
Yeah.
You know, I forget where's the quote that when Jesus was talking to the people, and he said, you know, you see the tree bud out, and you know that spring is coming, and, you know, you can look around, see the clouds coming, and you know what the weather's going to be, but you can't discern the time, what time you're in. And I think he said it in meaning that we should be able to.
We should be able to.
Just like when we do see the trees bud out, we know spring is in the air. And
when we see the chain around our neck, we know we're in the days of Egypt. When we see the homosexuals going rampant, we know we're in the days of Sodom. I mean,
yeah.
And now, you know, you're looking up in the sky and you're seeing all this activity, you know where you're at. You should know
right.
where you're at.
Right. And how many times are we told, that might be a good study, how many times are we told, look up? Look up. Seems like I remember your redemption draws near being around one of those times.
Yeah, look up your redemption driver. So have you or anybody talked to James McCanny, Jason?
No, he's still been out of, he's not back in Minnesota. He's still out of state, and
I would think he
said he'd get in touch with me as soon as he got back, but that's all I've heard from him. Hello?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh.
Well, you know, with all this coming, we read about an incurable wound and a serious injury and fireballs and ice balls. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Got a little ad right here. We'll be back right after this. The number is 307-745-5913.
It got down to 11 men, huddled and hunkered down in a foxhole-like fashion in an upper room. So it is told in Acts chapter 1. 11 apostles, and a world to win over to Jesus Christ the King. And what happened in a short span of time? The world was won over to Christianity. How was it done? One-on-one. One person told another the good news. The good news gospel and God's gospel plan of salvation. Believe, repent, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was one-on-one, and then that new one that was won over told another one, and soon the world was won. Why not make it your goal to win someone over to Jesus Christ? Order our new booklet entitled, Don't Miss Out, and then hand it out to someone. Order more than one. How many? How many do you want to reach? Let us know and we'll send them to you, free. Then freely and even discreetly give them out. Order by writing to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Or go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, to order. Do your part in 2010 and reach someone using this tool we are giving you. Order it now, today.
And, you know, Pastor did write that book in 2010, and we made it available. Don't Miss Out. It's a very small, almost a treatise. And it's written from just a purely biblical, scriptural viewpoint on the importance of baptism. And the desire, the hope, is that you will not miss out. Don't miss out on it. So if you do want that, again, it's a good little booklet, that something you can share. I don't even think it addresses the Anglo-Israel message. It just is a...
It's about salvation.
Salvation, right.
You know, and like the announcer said there, basically he said, and some people don't realize this, but you can help save a soul from death. And if you go to James 5, the last verse of James 5, verse 20, it says, "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." And that's not, I don't believe, I had a discussion years ago about who sins this hides. Obviously the one who gets saved, the soul from death, obviously his sins get
sure.
hit. But I think that act of love, which that's a true act of love, it's not this sloppy agape stuff. I mean, when you spread the gospel like they did, and as he said there in Acts, the first part of Acts, they turned the world upside down. And that was love, but yet it was tough love.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go up to a sinner, like this says in 5:20, most of the time it'll be tough love. For one, that they'll think you're crazy. They think you don't know what you're talking about. They might even, you know.
And a lot of times they get tough with you because they get very defensive, you know.
Yeah. But, and Pastor was a master at tough love. But, hey, you know. Anyway.
So, when you read that again, let me flip over to James. Read that verse again, if you will.
Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. James 5:20.
Yeah, the New American Standard. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I can't help but think when you read that sounds like a good work to me.
That is a good work. Faith with works.
It is.
Is what saves you.
Yeah. And I think if you have enough faith to be able to study out and understand the biblical plan of salvation, and then you have enough faith and love to share it with others, that, you know, I think that's one of those plus marks that, you know, John's talked about that book of remembrance. And the Bible talks about, you know, all those good works that are done.
Yeah, the world's philosophy is what somebody does in their own. If it don't affect me, and what they, you know, that's baloney. You know,
right.
We should all care about our brethren. Mm-hmm. You know, and
if you love
nothing
your
else,
neighbor,
care for your own race.
Right. If you love your neighbor as yourself,
yeah.
And you know, Christ taught us that was the second greatest commandment, second only to loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul. Then you don't want your neighbor. You know, you don't want to spend eternity in the lake of fire.
Right.
I don't. I don't think anybody here does. I know nobody here does. There's no thinking about it. And so if we love our neighbors ourselves, we have to warn them and
now,
let them know.
Now, there's a point where you not accept it. They won't
sure.
receive the message, and you kick off the dust off your shoes and you move on.
But you at least warn
yeah.
them. You know, and it's not so that we can have a multitude of our sins covered, but God in His grace, it's like earlier in James 5 when it talks about, you know, pray for others so you can be healed. I mean, who else but God could figure that kind of stuff out and put it out to you? Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, guys. This is Joe calling.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey. Listen, the one man that called before regarding rape, it's a condition. It's like a result of sin, I know. And we know we're paying for our transgressions as a nation. But if you think about it, that's kind of a loaded question. That's the kind of question they ask in the you know, the government schools to the young and impressionable to turn them into activists.
Yeah, well, I think I know Kevin in his situation, and we couldn't get it all out on the air and stuff. But you
of course,
I think Kevin has been asked that. I think is what it is. That,
hey, we're supposed to we're supposed to be able to give an answer to the hope that lies within us. You know,
right?
I'm not getting on anybody's case or anything. I was pondering that question, and I think I have a good answer. Aside from national repentance, you know, King Solomon once was willing, and he was, I believe he actually was going to do it. But he knew the outcome. I believe he knew the outcome before anything was done, when he was to tear that little baby in two,
right.
when there was a dispute over the motherhood of it.
Right.
And that was an act of faith. It's like Abraham raising that knife up to his son.
Right, an act of faith, because who did the son belong to? Who did the baby belong to? Didn't belong to Abraham. Didn't belong to the parents, to the mothers
and
there.
That would have been like having it in your mind to perform an extreme late-term abortion, if you think about it. And I don't want to get nasty, but that's my kind of answer to that, to a loaded question. But okay, well, have a good morning, guys, and we'll be listening in.
All right, thanks a lot. And we'll stay with the phone lines. Oh, sorry about that caller. You just have to call back. We've still got a few minutes, about 10 minutes left in the program. And I think it does come down to faith. It is faith that...
What does it?
God is in control. Right. What
it,
does it? Right.
Everything that is not done in faith is sin, according
right.
to Paul. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, it really does. Here's the caller back. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Calvin here.
Well, good morning, Calvin.
I was thinking on the situation about rape and the possible resulting pregnancy. I had heard several testimonies over the years of the products of that situation that turned into be children of the Lord and washed in His blood, and they were just fabulous. But the point I'm trying to make is, if the woman that's been raped is a under her father's umbrella, it would be the father's chore to pray for her, I would say, in the area like vows of unmarried women, where the father has the authority, and seek the Lord in that situation.
Absolutely.
And if it's a married woman, it would be the husband. And I've heard of two cases that I know of where the husband allowed the rape pregnancy to continue on, and it turned out to be a fairly joyful situation, because it's a hard, hard road to go for the woman if she has to give up that child that she was going to bear. Psychologically, mentally, and maybe even spiritually.
Yep.
Because, as you brought up, it's murder if you take the life of an unborn child who belongs to the Lord. We are only charged with training them. Anyway, that's my two cents worth.
Appreciate
I sure
it.
Appreciate your teaching and preaching, both all of you men. Keep up the good work, and I praise the Lord for you.
Well, thank you, Cal. God bless.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the phones are still ringing. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, this is Charlie from Nevada. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
Wanted to call in. I was listening up before I went to work here this morning, and I was listening up on that milk thing. I live right by a dairy. Kind of know a guy that's a dairyman and in that dairy association and everything. They're putting something in that milk, and I'll tell you. And I just kind of want to tell you what's going on. They won't feed them calves, them replacement heifers and stuff. They won't feed them that milk after it goes in that vat, supposedly. It's whole milk, whatever it is. They won't feed them that milk. They'll pull that raw milk off first, feed them calves, because them calves scour up, and they have a lot of heck with it. So kind of give you a heads up, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, I've known dairies that, small dairies that supplied out, you know, the milk truck would come and take their stuff. You know, they sold it out. And of course, you're neck deep with government supplements and all that stuff. They always have been. That's the only way that they can compete. And, we would do that.
You don't know, and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I've been around cows all my life and stuff, and them guys are friends of mine, and I just happened to catch that over there one day.
Yeah.
So, we don't know what they're putting in there. And of course, the Lord takes it out of there for us. But the other good news is I just come off a job up on the Columbia River for a corporate outfit, and the title on my contract was Gathering Remnants. And I just wanted to share the word that remnants are getting easier to gather. I've been on a lot of them deals, and all them people I work with, we've spread the Israel truth message, and everybody gets it, especially cowpunchers and people that have dealt with the remnants, and they just catch right on to the voice from the wilderness, and the message is getting out there.
That's good news.
Well, that is.
And I'm telling you something, the remnants coming to the holdup. It's happening.
Good. Glad to hear it. Amen.
Yeah, amen. And I can't thank you guys enough. You don't know how many years is out there listening to you. And you got ranchers and cowpunchers coming to you, and they're falling out of them rodeo ministries and them cowboys to Christ, and they're waking up to the truth.
Amen.
And,
is good news. That is good news, Charlie. We sure appreciate you calling and sharing that with us.
You bet, and thank you guys for what you do. Praise the Lord.
All right. Thank you. God bless, Charlie. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
All right, sir. Well, that is some good news.
Yeah, it sounds like he gets to talk to God's people.
How'd you like to have a job description like that? Wait, I think we do. gather the remnants. Gather the remnants. How about that? Well, that sure is.
Hey, Jason, have you ate any meatballs with horse in them lately?
I sure hope not.
Is that just in the European countries, or where is
no,
that?
No, actually, that's happening all over the United States right now. There were several restaurants that had to pull different things off their menu because of all the horse meat that was in their food.
Wow.
You know, that's on menus in Canada.
It's on menus all over Europe and everything. I mean, it's actually considered a delicacy in a lot of parts. They eat a lot of it in Norway and Germany and stuff like that.
You know, the IKEA stores, they have meatballs. That's one of the things that you can, you know, when you walk through the store, you can buy food there. And I heard that their meatballs were some of the meatballs with horse in it, but I didn't hear if that was any American stores or not. But.
Oh, yeah, that was right here. They had them. They had to pull them out of the Denver store.
Oh, wow, because, you know, we went down there a couple of weeks ago. Good thing I stayed away from the meatballs.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I see.
Well, guys, we're out of time this morning. We got another caller here. Caller, we'll have to say hi to you off the air. But we do thank you all for joining us, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We invite you to church tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Come to the website, scriptures4america.org. You know, we aren't to forsake the assembly, and this is one way, by us streaming live church services, it's a way for you, the remnant, to be part of the assembly, for you to sing praises to God with like-minded people, to hear a good, biblical, Holy Spirit-inspired message, and to partake of communion. And so we do invite you to church with us. Come to the website, scriptures4america.org. Guys, thanks a lot. Have a great day, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
We'll talk to you later.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.